Bartram has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in!
The world becomes your library to help you to become better at your craft.
All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of the Kentucky Resilience Lab. Hope you guys are loving this second season. I know personally I am. Granted, I'm a little biased, but that's okay. I think the second season has rolled out some really great content, and you're about to hear some more really awesome content. Today, we have a special guest, so we've got a little bit of a longer episode today. I'm interviewing one of my very good friends, Katie Adams. You get Katie squared today. So Katie, welcome to the show. Thanks for being on with us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
So guys, a little background on Katie. She played volleyball at Louisville Male High School and Kentucky Indiana Volleyball Academy. So for all of you club volleyballers, aka Kiva, if you played, you know exactly what that is. She played at Male and at Kiva before playing Division II volleyball at Bellarmine University. It's a small private college here in Louisville, Kentucky, but they actually are in, you know, the first year of transitioning into Division I athletics. So now they're in the ASUN conference in Division I. So that's super exciting for Bellarmine. And Katie, since then, she's actually worked as a personal trainer at a local high performance gym and as a coach at Kiva. Recently, she just started her own business called Mindful Performance Coaching, which, you know, right up our alley. And in Mindful Performance Coaching, she works with local youth athletes in holistic coaching. So not just sport performance, but adding in that mindful aspect, adding in that recovery aspect. She leads a weekly yoga recovery class for her athletes that's optional, which I think is incredible. She helps guide them in nutrition. And so she really comes at training from this holistic, all-inclusive approach, which I think is dope. So I'm really excited to hear from her today. So Katie, now that I've kind of introduced you to our audience, if you wouldn't mind telling us a little bit about mindful performance coaching, like what yeah. is it?
So mindful performance coaching is my business. I started about a year ago, and I've always had this vision to help youth athletes take a holistic approach to training. From an early age, I realized how important it was to be mindful of your nutrition and your sleep habits and your mental state. And I think there's a lack of that, especially in our society that we're so consumed in instant gratification and social media and always trying to be the best. And we have a lot of more pressure on us, especially as athletes, because the expectation is so much higher. So it's really important, yeah, to, you know, also address what is being mindful. This week was actually my first week with training the national teams over at Kiva. And I asked, you know, every single team, and I have ages from 12 to 18, and the younger kids struggled with this more, but I even asked them, you know, what's a mindset? And they would kind of like, right. you know, just look at me, and these are pretty talkative kids. I mean, they're very chatty. So I was like, it was a big eye opener just in that moment, being like, oh man, like they don't really right. know what a mindset is. So I'm kind of starting, you know, from the ground with a lot of these kids, which is super exciting because they are Absolutely. So vulnerable in a good way, vulnerable because I have such, you know, close reach to them to teach them about like what a mindset is, like how to practice a mindset within sports and within school. And I also try to take it into, you know, your Absolutely. Relationship with your
oh, yeah.
family, because there's so many factors that, you know, play a role in your mindset, which ultimately plays a role in your performance on and off.
Oh, for sure. I couldn't agree more. So, standpoint. What does a typical session look like when you work with athletes? If you're incorporating this aspect of mindfulness, you know, where do you start?
Yeah. So the starting point for me, this was this week, which is this great timing that we're talking about this, but just making it aware of, okay, what is a mindset? I kind of describe it as the story you tell yourself in your head, right? Because it's not always, you know, we have so many factors of how our mindset can create this storyline. And it's not always what happens to you, but it's about how you react to it, not just physically, but mentally. And I told all of them that you have complete control of your thoughts. And it's kind of a hard thing to swallow, like, oh, I have complete control of my thoughts. It's like, you know, it's like we don't really think about that often, but it's true. And it's not easy to, you know, try to control every single thought that goes on into your head. Like, we're all human. But if we can try to take, you know, things that happen to us and try to make it as positive or as a learning experience as possible, then that's just practicing a positive mindset. So yeah, there's certain times in a session where, you know, I can tell that they're not giving it their all, or maybe they're not cheering each other on, like little stuff like that. Right there is just a mindset of, okay, every time you walk in here, you're trying to get 1% better. You're trying to be a better version of yourself, or you're trying to practice your positive mindset. And I tell them, you know, I can tell when you guys are in the right mindset and when you're not. It's just obvious, just even like the little things. And sometimes I can make, you know, the big things, and I try to make it super relatable to them. And I sprinkle stuff within a session. I'm trying to think of an example, like my, when we were breaking down the jump this week, we broke down a squat jump, and I said, every jump you do in here is for maximal height. And I said, you're going to hear that from me all year. Every jump we do is maximal height, every single rep. And I said, right there is a mindset. Because I really don't think they realize, you know, you can create whatever mindset you want. I mean, that's just a huge change right there, coming in and being like, okay, every jump I'm going to do today, it's going to be 100% maximal jump. I'm like, bam, there's your mindset. So yeah, sometimes it's a big talk. Sometimes it's a little sprinkle throughout the session, but I always do try to incorporate it because it is so important that they need to kind of stay in tune with being mindful of
That's amazing. I think that is so cool how you are playing on not just the physical training, but also the psychological training, and you're almost like intertwining the two. So that's really interesting. And it kind of brings me right to my next point. So y'all, I didn't mention probably the coolest part about this girl. She has completed an Ironman. And that is like the ultimate culmination of psychological and physical stress and strain, and she has successfully completed it. I found this definition of extreme, and it's this idea of exceeding the ordinary, exceeding the usual or the expected. And personally, I think an Ironman definitely fits that description. So Katie, why don't you tell us a little bit about the Ironman? Maybe give us a quick introduction to what an Ironman is, exactly like how long it takes to complete, et cetera. Cause I know, some of our readers, our listeners probably are not super familiar with the specifics.
Yeah. So an Ironman is one of the longest triathlons. It is a 2.4-mile swim, a 112-mile bike, and then a marathon. So a 26.2-mile run afterwards. And, you know, I'm sitting here thinking about it. And, like, right now I just go out and, like, run 3 miles now these days. And here I am talking about it. It's, like, crazy to think I did that. But, yeah, and it's all back-to-back. But the year I did it, that was the year. So it was 2019, and the Ohio River was experiencing green algae, which seems to never happen, but they actually canceled the swim. So that was kind of rough because, you know, you train and you're expected to do the full thing. And, you know, you get on Facebook and people are being like Debbie Downer is like, oh, it's not a real Ironman. Like, this is an Ironman. Like, we didn't swim. And I'm over here like,
heck yeah.
Like, yeah, it's an Ironman. Like, I did all the training. Like,
right.
The race is just like the celebratory part, you know? It's a time to kind of celebrate what your body can do and what you can mentally do. But
wow.
Yeah, that's an Ironman.
Just your perspective on, you know, the cancellation of the swim, that you turned it into, something okay, right? You accepted it rather than immediately just going to the negative speaks volumes about your personal mindset. So I kind of want to talk a little bit more about the Ironman in particular, and then we can kind of circle back to how you utilized maybe some mental skills in your training. So first, tell me a little bit about what the training was like. You mentioned that the race in and of itself was the celebration because you successfully completed the training. So what was that training like?
Yeah. Training was, don't get me wrong, the race was awesome, but training was my favorite part. I came from, you know, playing volleyball for 10 years. It's a very anaerobic, powerful, you know, short sprints, very powerful. I'm jumping all the time. Little games, you know, volleyball, you gain a lot of points. You get instant feedback. You either, you know, do something good with the ball or do something bad with the ball. So when I started training for Ironman, I mean, I've always been like, even in high school when I was playing volleyball, I loved to run. Like, I would go out and run 10 miles and just be fine with it, just the way my body was when I was in high school. But I was so excited to start training because I knew I wanted to do this so bad. Like, I love doing endurance stuff and I love, you know, completing hard tasks. So when I kind of had volleyball end, it was a great shift from being this collegiate athlete to looking forward to going into this new sport and having all this training ahead of me. Like, I had pretty much my year outline of what I was going to accomplish like every day through my training. And I started really, it was about November 2018 is when my collegiate volleyball career ended because I was a senior, season was over. So I remember kind of starting to like get my body prepping for training that really started in January 2019. So I trained for about 10 months. And every day, every day was a new day in this training world, really, because it was my first Ironman, you know. It was always something new. This was the first time my body was going through this day with all this training load behind me, if that kind of makes sense. So it was just, you know, it's kind of like you're self-experimenting on yourself. You're like, okay, what are my limits today? Like, what can my body and my mind do today? That's kind of how I approached each training session. And then I just started falling in love with certain like days of the week more than others and looking forward to them. So some of my favorite days were actually Tuesdays and Thursdays. And I'd wake up around 4:15 a.m. and I'd eat real quick. I'd get my bike gear on. And I go meet this group of people, and I already knew a couple of them, but they're in there. There was 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds, like great cyclists in Louisville. And we meet 5 a.m. at Graders, we'd go right out in the dark. We'd all have these super bright lights, you know. No one's out. It's 5 a.m., and I mean, at 5 a.m., we were rolling. Like, if you were there at 5:01, you're late. And sometimes I even rode to the meeting spot from my house because I was fairly close. But, you know, we'd go out towards Oldham County, which is, you know, a little more country roads. And we'd go hard. I mean, we'd be biking and, you know, it's summer out and it just feels good and you're in the dark with all these people and you're just riding hard. And it was some of the hardest rides just because of the hills and the people I were with are
pretty tough, huh?
Or they are really good riders now. Oh, pretty tough. Yeah, I remember the first month I was toast after. I mean, I was, you know, breathing hard. I was so fatigued at the end of these rides, but I kept, you know, showing up and I kept getting stronger. And it turned into me being so nervous on some of these rides. I wouldn't talk to anyone. And then towards the end of the summer into the fall, you know, I'm chatting Heck about yeah. my work days ahead and my life and what are you doing this weekend? You know, it just became such a good social environment and everyone just kind of, I guess I was, you know, the youngest. I mean, I was 21 when I raced Ironman. I was 20 while I was training. Yeah. So, you know, some 20-year-old, I was kind of like the fun young one of the group, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, it was just super fun. Those were some of my favorite days. And then I'd roll into work at 8 a.m. Like, I took my shower, I got my breakfast, rolled into work at 8 a.m., already having that under my belt for
That's
the day.
That's amazing.
It just felt really good.
Tuesdays, Thursdays, yeah. Definitely your favorite part of your training. Now, what was your least favorite part of your training, if you don't mind me asking?
My least favorite.
Are you going to be one of those people that says, I didn't have a least favorite. I loved all of it.
I don't know.
She's like, no.
No. I mean, I will. I'm like, there's. Well, you know, I'm thinking of the physical side of it. Now, swimming, like my mind's going to swimming. That's what I'm thinking about here. But then I learned to love swimming. So like at first, you know, it was hard to sometimes get motivated. It would be like beautiful outside and I love being outside. Like,
oh yeah.
You know, if I can be outside, I'm out there. So it was sometimes hard to like motivate myself, to, like go into the pool, like get in, like get warmed up, like be bored for like 45 minutes. You know, I wasn't a great swimmer and it's not like you're swimming and going hard all the time for Ironman. I kind of trained swimming as slow because it's the first leg of the race. I mean, I had some speed days, but then I really started to like it because it was honestly one time I was moving and I was physical, but I was really okay. in tune with like my breathing and like every single movement. And then I started really like self-reflecting when I was in the pool. And then there was times where I actually got a waterproof.
Oh, nice.
Like iPod shuffle with like waterproof kind of earbuds kind of thing. And I'd put my headphones in and just kind of swim. And that was kind of honestly like my little escape because there's not much stimulus.
Right.
Like you're looking down at a black line. And you have to focus on your breathing. You have to focus on your stroke. So it was kind of like my yoga for, you know, training. So, I mean, there were some days where I'd really push it. And there were some days where I would take it easy. But at first, you know, that was one of my hardest parts. But, I mean, I'm trying to think of, like, something that I really hate it. Like, I really don't know. Like, I really enjoy all of it. But,
yeah, I mean, I think that's good that you can't really – define your least favorite part. I think that means that you did it for the right reasons, right?
Yeah.
So I kind of want to transition a little bit. You mentioned swimming, you know, you got bored, you had to focus on your breath. And now you're working with your athletes on integrating mindfulness and mental skills into their physical training. So I want to hear a little bit about your use of mental skills while training. What kind of psychological skills training did you use that you found beneficial?
Yeah. One of the biggest ones, and I tell my athletes this often, is like obviously the power of your mindset, but like your self-talk during your training. I mean, it is so important and I still use it today. And it's almost like talking out loud too. Like self-talk, but talking out loud helps a lot. There would be days where I'd be on the bike forever, it seemed like, or maybe it was just a run, but I was like on mile 2 and struggling, whatever. But the power of like saying like, I am strong, I am powerful, I am resilient. Like, I can't tell you the amount of times where I would be on the bike and it would be like
Wow.
hour 3 out of 4 or hour like 3 out of 5. And it was summer and you know it's hot and you're getting a little fatigued. And you know, I didn't listen to music on the bike. I never listened to music when I was training, other than maybe in the pool for a couple sessions. But I would repeat over and over and over again, like, I am strong, I am powerful, I am strong, I am powerful, over and over and over, especially during hard times, like on those rides I mentioned earlier, when we were hitting
Right.
hard hills or we were hitting a hard speed. I would say that over and over. And you can physically feel the side effects of you mentally
Absolutely.
changing your mindset to that. And I remember looking at, my Strava, which is
Okay.
just your data from your watch. So I would look at my Strava at that 3 hour mark or that 4 hour mark in my ride. And sometimes it would honestly be
Wow.
like the strongest part of my ride is when I would just repeat that over and over and over and over again. So I think that was like one of my biggest pieces of mental
Nice.
skills that I
Awesome. Thank you so much for
used.
sharing that. I think that's so cool
Yeah.
that even your Strava represented that as your physically
Yeah.
strongest part of
Right.
part of the workout. So
Yeah.
hear that, listeners. We told you, self-talk, it's like a real thing. So I
It is.
kind of want to ask you a really random question. And I want your complete and honest opinion. Do you think there's maybe a personality trait in particular that makes someone more able to complete an Ironman, whether that's like mental endurance or adaptability or something? Do you think there's a particular trait that sets the Ironman and Iron Woman apart?
Yeah. Like the word
Okay.
that's coming to mind is like
Wow. Yeah.
driven, really. Like you have to be really, you have to be super motivated and you have to like drive yourself to the end, like to that race, to the finish line. You know, I think there's a ton of people who are, fit and, want to be healthy and work out every day. But if I tell them, like, oh, yeah, I did
Yeah.
Ironman, they look at me like I'm a crazy person. Like they wouldn't do it. But you have to just have that drive and that desire to, like, really just go after what
Absolutely.
you put your mind to, I
Now,
think.
what about a physical
Yeah.
predisposition? Do you think there's like a particular body style or shape that makes one more apt to successfully complete an Ironman?
Not at all. No.
So it's
I mean,
all about that mental
no.
drive then, right?
Anyone.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I can't tell you the year I raced, there was a guy that was partially blind and he had a belt around his waist that had
Yeah.
a rope, I guess you could call it, to another endurance athlete, and he completed it. I mean, they were the
I
first person with
saw
Down
that.
syndrome just
It's
completed an
remarkable.
Ironman. Yeah. And I can't tell you, and you're in my head, and I followed like a lot of triathletes on Instagram, and that's where I actually got a lot of motivation through just seeing random posts. But they're tiny humans. I just joke about that, like, oh, you're a
Yeah.
tiny human. And by that, I mean just short. But sometimes with that, they grew up being an endurance athlete, obviously, because they were built for that. You just become good at what you're kind of built for. But, in my head before, I thought I was going to be surrounded by all these quote unquote tiny humans. But really, you're out there and, there's
Wow.
6'5" guys on the bike who look like they just got
Right.
off the football field kicking my ass on a straight line because of how much power they have, So it's a little bit of everyone out there, which is great. It's once
Yeah.
again, it's that drive to want to
So, when
succeed
did you
and
know
really
that you
do it.
wanted to complete an Ironman? Like what motivated you to pursue it? I know you said that drive is kind of what got you through, but what made you say, I'm going to do an Ironman?
Okay, this may be a little longer. This may be a little long story because there's
Yeah.
so many outlets that feed into this. I remember first seeing triathlons. And I don't know if you remember this, but the Disney Channel used to have these little segments on like
Oh,
kids
yeah.
and sports. I forgot what they called
Like
it.
Disney Play or
But I don't know
something.
what it was called. Something like that. It was almost like a commercial, like a 2 or 3 minute like commercial. But it'd be like, "Hi, my name's, Katie, and I'm 12 years old and I do cross country," stuff like that. But I remember there was a kid on there who did triathlons, and I was like, "What is that?" And I think something else popped up in like a magazine I was reading one day. And then I honestly forgot what really sparked this, but I remember it was my junior year of high school. And I remember vividly, for some reason, I was standing like where we walk into our house, and my mom was at the front door, and like I was there and we were talking. I remember telling her, like,
That's
"Mom, I'm gonna
amazing.
do a triathlon one day." I'm like, "I'm gonna,"
What's that?
she's like, "What's that?" And I'm like, "You swim and you bike and you run." Because I mean, at that time, I was running like a crazy person because I was good at running in high
Yeah.
school, but like volleyball was my thing. But I ran, for fun. I was good at it, whatever. So I just kind of always had that in my back pocket. And then Courtney Robinson, one of my, mentors and a huge friend of mine, just super inspiring. She works at Kiva, and that's how I know her. But she posted something on like Instagram one day. She did like her first sprint triathlon, and at this time she was training for Ironman, and I didn't even know she was training for Ironman at that time. But she had a picture with her bike, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, like this is what I want to do. Like someone I know is like doing this." And Courtney's 5 years older than me, so she's a great role model and someone to look up to. So we kind of chatted about it, and it was my sophomore year of college that I got
Wow.
my first road bike. So I remember that day too. I, went and picked up my road bike and, got going from there. But what made me want to do an Ironman was I knew how mentally and physically challenging it was, and I knew I could do hard things. Like in high school, and it's sometimes hard to talk about, but
Yeah.
I struggled hard in high school with anxiety and depression. And I didn't tell a lot of people that for the longest time how I struggled, but I found how powerful being vulnerable can be. So I'm more open with it now. But I had to work on, getting through it in healthy ways throughout high school and throughout college. And I found my outlets, and my outlets were, like being,
Right.
not being fit, but being physical, like, working out, whatever, taking time for myself, like being selfish like that. I was, I'd go out with friends and stuff, but I, like in college, like one of my favorite times was like on Fridays at like 6 p.m. I was in the
That's
gym
amazing.
just doing my thing. Like that was my little high, And then, Saturdays I go have my fun, whatever. But, I knew I could do hard things, and it was going to be such a mental challenge. And I knew how good physically doing things made me feel. So like combining the two, I was so eager to do it. And I knew I had to wait till I got out of college to do an Ironman. So I think that's where that drive came from. So like in the middle of season, so like in the summer, I did like sprint triathlons.
Okay.
I did some Olympic triathlons. So I did little ones that kind of helped me build on,
Right.
final goal of
Nice.
Ironman when I
So
graduated. But
would you say the physical aspect or the mental aspect was the toughest, or was tougher when completing the Ironman, or would you say they're equally difficult?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say
Okay.
they're pretty equal, from the mental aspect, it's hard because you're trying to juggle a lot and balance a lot, like your own mental health
Right.
outside of using mental skills to train. You have your own mental health. I'm just graduated college. I'm just trying to start my career. I just moved back in with my parents from, you know, living with college friends. So that was
Absolutely.
a whole different spectrum. Like I was in a relationship that, you know, at the time was, you know, really good. But with Iron Man, you know, you have to juggle all these things. But honestly, looking back, I'm glad it was a mental challenge because it made me realize you have to take time for yourself. And I still think, you know, like maybe I'm biased because I'm talking, you know, I still think I did a good job like balancing everything, but it made me realize what I want in certain relationships, you know, like relationships with friends and family and, you know, intimate like relationships. So I think, you know, going through the hard times of just the balance of training really made me realize the value of relationships and the value of time and the value to take care of yourself.
So you kind of mentioned this idea of balance. How did you balance everything? Like what was that like? Because I would assume work and, you know, play, right? And training and keeping up with your mental health, and even physical recovery. Yeah. Like how did you balance all of that when you were training?
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I look back, I'm like, how did I do that? Right. No. I think a huge part of it, honestly, that helped me a lot was living at home. And you know, Katie, you're my friend. So we would talk all the time about the struggles of living at home. You know, you're 20 and you're living with your parents, but you know, I didn't have rent to worry about. Like my mom, this sounds silly, you know, my mom helped me with laundry. When you're training through an Ironman, you go through a lot of laundry, you know, the little things like my mom would cook dinner, right? Like I didn't have to go to the grocery like every, you know, 4 days for myself. Like I do living by myself as I do now. So just a little stuff like that really helped because I could, as an independent contractor and a personal trainer at the time, I only worked maybe 15 hours a week, maybe 20 hours a week. I gave volleyball lessons on the side and I was also trying to do some online stuff with my business. So I was staying busy, but it wasn't like I was working a traditional 8-to-5 job. So I think that helped a lot. But with social life, I think I slipped a little bit there. I will admit now, you know, I'm like, but you know, my friends were all moved back to their states they came from, like from college. My closest friends during the time, Lily and Kelly, I mean, Lily is working her butt off to get into med school, which she just did. So go Kelly, shout out, or go Lily, shout out. Kelly was in school to be interior designer. So, you know, we're all super busy. And then I had my friends at work, which, as you know, like we all hung out all the time. So that was awesome. And we were just near each other, like at work, hanging out, we make plans. So that was good. But I think like socially, like it was hard because there was, you know, Saturday nights, I didn't want to go out. Like I remember my boyfriend at the time would like want to drink and like go out to the bars and whatnot. And I would like, you know, push through it. You know, I'm like, all right, yeah, let's go out tonight. Woo! Like just hopped off my bike for 6 hours and, you know, ran 5 miles, like I'm fine. No, but there was towards the end I started being like, I mean, I just can't do it. And I think like that,
yeah,
you know, that was hard to, you know, and I think it's hard for people who aren't training for an Ironman to like understand like why you're not like going out every Saturday and Friday, you know, and like understand why you're so tired and like honestly understand why you're even doing it. But I think just a balance of, you know, living at home a little bit, having that financial support, having, you know, a couple extra hands to help you out with the little things like laundry and cooking, that was a huge balance. And then the freedom to make my own schedule with work, that helped a lot too.
So I want to see if you have any like go-to resources that, you know, helped keep you mentally engaged while you were training, or are helping you now foster this mindset?
Yeah. My main source of that would be honestly Instagram, like following, I almost said influencers, not following influencers, following legit athletes. So like a couple come to mind, Caroline Burkle, she's actually from Louisville. She swam at Sacred Heart. She went on the swim at Florida, went to the Olympics, but I followed her on Instagram, and this sounds kind of weird, but she kind of felt like a friend, because I was really picking up what she was putting down on there. And she has her own little platform of, it's called Rise. It's for youth athletes from like exact kind of like what you do, like with mental skills and stuff. But she would put stuff on there all the time, and even about just like listening to your body and like her own journey. So like that was inspiring. And then I followed a runner, Allie. Her last name's kind of hard to say, but she was a runner. Well, she is a runner, marathon runner up in Chicago. Super, super inspiring. Just her little posts she would make. And there's another one, Alexis.
Oh my gosh, she's Alexis amazing. Puppy,
I think is how you say her last
name.
Yes. Yeah, you follow her too. Yeah, so like even her little captions, like she captions like, "Hey bravies," yeah, and I'm like, she's talking to me, like I'm a bravie, you know. It's like little moments like that. You're like, they're inspiring, so it like makes me inspire too, yeah. And you know, but yeah, that's kind of where I went to for resources, was honestly like some people like that I knew, you know, had a strong mindset, and they're these crazy good athletes.
So,
anyway,
Katie, if you were to do it all over again, would you do anything differently?
Yeah, I would. I would do it all again in a heartbeat, but I think I would do a better job listening to my body and like listening to what I need, because I was so, and this is something you have to practice and you just learn as you go, but you know, I had every day pretty much laid out for me, for this plan, and I had the mindset, which isn't very healthy, it can be healthy. Sometimes it's not always healthy, but you know, if you miss the workout, like, oh my God, I missed the workout. You know, it's at the end of it, like my training's messed up for the week, you know, blah, 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 blah. But I think if I went back and I redid it, I would listen to my body more, you know, maybe hit this run harder. Or hit this run a little lighter, you know, take 2 days of recovery instead of just once a week. But yeah, and then I would probably be a little better at balancing it out. But
so do you have any advice for someone training for their first Ironman? Would it be exactly what you just said, you know, to be a little bit more balanced and flexible and welcome? Welcome those things that don't necessarily as planned.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I think my biggest piece of advice would be, you know, especially if it's your first one, every day is a new day for your body to kind of go through what it's going through, and you're pushing it through a lot. So just be kind to yourself, you know, give your body what it needs. Like if it needs a day of rest, you know, if it needs a day to just like maybe your practice for the day is mentally instead of physically. Just take those little moments that really add up, like take time for yourself to really kind of treat your body as it needs to be treated, because you're adding up all these stressors, which play into your social life and your work life, and just to remain balanced and know that it is worth it at the end. If you do have that drive and you are handling training well, like it is worth the accomplishment at the end.
So what did the Ironman teach you? Would you say that it really gave you a whole lot of life lessons, or?
Yeah.
I know.
I'm like smiling right now.
I know you well enough that I knew that you know, just said yeah with a big smile on your face.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. I know I did. Because I look back at that whole year of training, and it was like one of my favorite years. Like 2020, honestly, for me was a great year, but 2019 was, I had some rough things happen to me that year. Like it was hard year, but it was my favorite year because I learned so much. Like, it taught me like what I can physically, mentally do. But also it makes me want to like keep going. It taught me kind of like, I got a new sense of, I don't know, like these feelings of like euphoria.
That's amazing.
Like during your training, and it sounds so dramatic, but I'm like, nothing is like ripping down a country road in the summer, seeing the sunset come up at 6:30 a.m. Like there's just little things like that make you realize. I think the one that's coming to me is like the value, you know, like I mentioned before, like the value of like what your body can do, like the value of time and the value of like pushing yourself and the value of self.
Simply remarkable. Girl, you're awesome. Yeah. I could talk to you about this all day. But I think we have to, you know, kind of wrap it up here. You know, do you just want to tell our listeners like what's next in life for you and me included? I kind of put this question in because I want to know like what new and exciting thing is my really good friend Katie gonna do next?
Well, I was gonna do Ironman in 2020.
LOL.
But we're cutting that. Well, LOL. Obviously 2020 is over. But Ironman is in my future at some point. I think this year I'm really getting into trail races. So that's going to be my next big physical thing. But right now, really, it's all about just taking a couple months, taking half a year to kind of do what I want physically, and really focus on like my business, you know, just helping others out, helping these youth athletes out and kind of taking some freedom to kind of do whatever I want training wise, and we'll kind of see how 2021 shapes out.
Head bitch in charge vibes. Keep it coming. All right. Well, Katie, I cannot thank you enough. I know that our listeners value this just as much as I do and the rest of the team at the Kentucky Resilience Lab. So thanks again so, so much for hanging out with us today.
My pleasure.
And guys, I will put Katie's social media info in the podcast description for you to follow, and we will find that girl that has the really crazy long last name as a resource, and include the other awesome resources that Katie mentioned in the podcast description as well. Make sure to give our social media a follow if you haven't already. We've got an Instagram account, and that's just at KYResLab, at KYResLab. That's on Instagram. We've got lots of really awesome resources, book reviews, infographics. You can also get to know our team on there as well. So if you haven't hit us up with a follow, definitely would recommend doing so. Also, if you would be so, so kind to give us a review on whatever platform you listen to podcasts, that'd be awesome, whether that be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, etc. That would be much appreciated. All the feedback is welcome and very much so appreciated, guys. So make sure to hit Katie up with that follow, hit us up with that follow if you haven't already, and be on the lookout for the rest of this season. Guys, I can't even begin to explain how freaking amazing our speakers are, Katie included, and our episodes. Like this whole platform, this whole community, it has really taken off, and we have you to thank for it. So keep up the engagement, and I can't wait to hang out with you guys again soon. So until next time.